afternoon. Sarah Gunn, how are you?
I'm not sure if I'm optimistic enough for you.
Thank you on my side.
All right. Zimbabwe and Venezuela, role models for destruction. All the news today is just all about Venezuela.
Yeah. Well, those demonstrations, which were to coincide, well, certainly yesterday, with the commemoration of the removal of the dictatorship of 1958, were absolutely amazing to watch. I mean, the sheer numbers of people, and it wasn't apparently confined to Caracas. Venezuela has been almost an archetypal collapse of a socialist state. As at the turn of the 21st century, Venezuela was the richest country in Latin America. Now it is becoming Latin America's first failed state in modern history. And if one knows some of the countries in Latin America, that is saying something. Venezuela's inflation rate as at the end of last year was about 1.3%. Child malnutrition at 70%, et cetera. It's an absolute disaster. And more than 20% of Venezuelans now live outside Venezuela. A very sad little footnote is that Hugo Chavez, the first, most recent socialist leader, nationalized the country's fishing industry. And as a result, it collapsed. And individual small-scale fishermen, you know, have been virtually destitute. And they have taken to pirating the Caribbean. So they basically, they'll threaten people, they'll kidnap people to get food, to get Pampers. But what is also happening is that they have exacerbated the drug trade, and that is starting to really devastate other countries in the Caribbean. And our esteemed President Ramaphosa congratulated His Excellency Nicolas Maduro Moros of Venezuela following his inauguration for a second term. In the company with South Africa were countries like Cuba, Bolivia, Russia, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Iran, Mozambique, Syria, China, and North Korea. However, the democratic countries, which included over a dozen Latin American countries, denounced the election as a sham, and 16 ambassadors were recalled. So, depending on which side you support, depends on whether you see it as a success or not. But so Venezuela has been used as an example of the move towards a socialist paradise. So there goes the socialist paradise. A socialist paradise closer to home is that of Zimbabwe. And essentially, I don't have to give the history to people listening, but essentially a country that was over 70% reliant on agriculture for its income, for its GDP, collapsed once the government started expropriating and taking over and seizing land. So again, another superb example, but right on our doorsteps with the refugees to boot, we have Zimbabwe. And the reason I raise these as examples with concern for us is that whatever President Ramaphosa and the ANC say about what needs to be done to repair our economy and our institutions, running through a thread through every elective conference, including the manifesto that is just released on its elections, is support for the National Democratic Revolution, which is a Leninist idea, and it essentially requires society to go through a democracy before it ends up in a utopian socialist state. And I cannot say enough about the fact that it's cloud cuckoo land. The problem that, and what really concerns me, is how on earth can they square the circle of that pursuit of the NDR with whatever it is they're saying in Davos to bring in money. As long as you've got the NDR as your ultimate platform, you cannot change policy.
Okay, so there's two questions that I've got for you, Sarah.
Yeah.
One is, in Davos, who Are there any governments who want to invest money in a Marxist-Leninist society today?
Well, you see, I think the problem is that the, by and large, the pundits may be aware of the ANC socialist history, but business either isn't or ignores it, and so it hangs on to all the good stuff about the more liberal change of policy and direction, not realizing that what the ANC actually means. I'm not sure if the ANC knows what the ANC means, and as a result, you end up with stasis. And I think we might be ending up essentially in a period of stasis.
So should we also be more concerned about, you know, when the economic freedom fighters and Julius Malema are standing up and they're talking about nationalizing mines?
Mm.
You know, mining is the biggest industry in South Africa. Mm. You know, and one just has to look at other countries where that has happened.
Mm.
You know, why would the South African...
Sorry, that's that storm you spoke about.
Yes, it's lovely. I mean, it's been a very dramatic interview with you this afternoon. you know, should we be more concerned about the EFF calling for nationalization of the mines?
I think we should. I mean, make no mistake, the ANC has, you know, is heading direction. We've got the expropriation without compensation. We've also had revelations about corruption in the redistribution of land. We're looking at the NHI, which to my mind is unworkable and unaffordable.
It's only taken 43 years to implement, so.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Yeah.
And there is nothing, in other words, it's an indication of the government wanting to take over more and more. But their performance over the SOEs, which are, to my mind, a good judge of how they would do it, has been, by all agreement, appalling. So when the EFF says, you know, it wants to national, I would say believe them. I'm not sure if they could do it, and I'm not sure if they have any real policy to go with it.
Yeah.
But if that's what they say they espouse, it's a illiberal move. It's an illiberal situation.
So it's an interesting thing with the EFF. I mean, I give this a lot of thought, and you know, so who does the EFF appeal to? How is it that they're able to mobilize so very, very quickly? Well, most of the people who they're appealing to are people who don't have jobs. And if we've got a 30% unemployment rate in this country, that's a lot of people voting for the EFF, Sarah.
It's also predominantly young voters.
Yeah.
And of course, young voters will be unemployed.
Yeah.
And one of the real problems is that, you know, The whole issue of the economy, the big issue is jobs. But the government taking over the economy is not how they're going to get jobs. It's just that simple. And if you want to put a dent in what the EFF is doing, and it's threatened violence on more than one occasion, create an environment to create jobs. And unfortunately for the ANC, that is a free market society.
Yeah, that's where we have to leave it this week. Always a pleasure to speak to you. Always very, very insightful. And thank you so much, Sarah Gunn.
My pleasure.